In prayer, Heavenly Father, we thank you for this evening. We thank you for your word. We thank you for knowing your word has the ability to accomplish what you want to accomplish in each and every one of our hearts tonight, Father. And Lord, we give you all the praise and all the glory. And we thank you for knowing that you're in charge of everything that goes on in this place. And we thank you for your spiritual authority. And Lord, we just ask your blessings upon this evening. And let your word go forth and accomplish what it needs to go forth. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. Tonight's message, the title is Three R's. And Pastor Mark had a good three words for the three R's. Repentance. What was the second one?
Reconciliation.
Reconciliation and restoration. But that's not the title. That's not what we're going to look at. On February 11th, Pastor Mark was doing a message, Faith for the Final. And during his message, he spoke three different words, and he listed them in this order. Fight, flight, and faith. Those are the three words that I wrote down in my notes. And when he spoke those three words, the Lord gave me the three words that we want to look at tonight. And I want you to open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Because the three words that the Lord gave me are run, rest, and refuge. Run, rest, and refuge. And this passage of Scripture we're all familiar with. In verse 24 it says, Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run that you may obtain. And then in verse 26, he says, I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Paul is saying that we're in a race. Frank has taught on this. Pastor Mark's taught on this. I've taught on this. But I want to take a look at some things here. The word run there means of persons in a haste and those who run in a race course. And there's some things we need to take a look here. It says, those who are in this race, first thing they do is they run all. They go all out. And see, as Christians, we're in a race. And the question the Lord asked me is, are you running, are you giving your all in this race? Are you running all? Because it said run all. But one receiveth the prize. And if any of you have ever run in a race, there's always a start, there's always a finish. And I thought it was interesting because Pastor Mark has been talking about faith for the final. There's a final end to this race we're in. And it's going to take our faith to get to that final end. But why are we running in this race? Paul says we're running so that we may obtain. Obtain. What are we running after? Well, it says in the next verse, Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible crown. And it says, I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. Now, a boxer, when he fights, he just doesn't swing in the air, does he? He's got a mark that he's going for, usually the guy's chin. Because if he hits the chin or hits the head properly, he's going to knock him out. Well, there's three things here when we're running that we need to be aware of. One, we need to run, we're in a race. And once you enter the race, once you start it, you can stop any time. But this race that we're in as Christians, we don't want to stop. We want to go all the way to the end. That's right. We want to finish the race. But in order to finish the race, we have to run all out. You can do that in a short race, but you can't do it in a marathon. If you try to sprint a marathon, you're not going to make it. It's just not going to happen. So every one of us in this race are at different paces. We're at different places in this race. Some of us feel like we're sprinting. Some of us feel like we're walking. Some of us feel like we're walking and sprinting. But as long as we're in a race and giving our all, we're going to make it because we have Jesus on our side. And it says, run to obtain. The word obtain there means lay hold of, so as to make one's own. This running that we're doing, our goal is to possess all that Jesus has for us. To possess all that He has for us. To lay hold of as to make one's own. To seize. You know, and Pastor Mark's really been hitting us with faith because it's going to take faith. It's going to take faith in God. Faith in our Lord Jesus Christ to know that He is going to equip us to finish this race. We don't have the strength. We don't have the wisdom. We don't have everything that's necessary to complete this race. But we do have Jesus, and He left us His precious Holy Spirit that leads us, that guides us, and that comforts us. And it's interesting. A lot of people don't really stress the importance of the Holy Spirit and the baptism of the Holy Spirit these days. That's always a controversy in the body of Christ. But do you know that when you have the Holy Spirit and when you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, your presence makes a difference wherever you're at and whoever you're with? It makes a difference. My wife shared with me the other day a situation about a particular individual. And she was asking the Lord why this individual has such a peace. And when this individual is in Sue's presence, just a total peace, just a pleasure, just a joy. And she asked the Lord, and what was it the Lord told you? Nope. It was the presence of the Holy Spirit. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit within her is what makes the difference in how that person responds. It was the presence of the Holy Spirit. Now, in verse 26... it says, I therefore run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one beating the air. We just don't run for no reason. If you're in a race, there's a start and there's a finish. You just don't run haphazardly. I've seen that happen in races where people get off course. And it's not a fun outcome. Because they make the wrong turn, or they go the wrong direction, or they go down the wrong street, or they go down the wrong path. And what should have been a 10K ends up being about a 10 to 12 mile run instead of a 6.2 mile run. Because they get off course. They're not certain where they're going, And they're following the wrong people in the race who have turned down the wrong road. That is true. But that's not what I'm talking about. Okay. So, go to Psalms 119, please. Psalms 119, verse 32. Now, this is David talking. And David said, I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. Here, David is talking about run the way of commandments. What are the commandments? This book, right? He's saying, I will run the way of thy commandments. Now, the first two words in that passage of Scripture is what? I will. That's a decision that each and every one of us have to make. I will run after God's commandments. I will run after that which pleases the Lord. I will run after those things that cause me to grow closer to the Lord. That's a decision that we all have to make. So he says, I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. In an athlete, there's a term called an athlete's heart. An athlete's heart, in the medical field, is called an enlarged heart. Spiritually, if we're running after God's commandments and we're running after the things of God, shouldn't we have an enlarged spiritual heart? That's what God wants us to have. He wants us to have an enlarged heart. He wants our heart to be so full of Jesus. That's what His goal is. Because in verse 33 it says, teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto when? The end. And Pastor Mark, in the last few things he's taught, faith for the final. What's the final? The end. At some point, God's going to wrap it up. But while we're running this race, He's wanting us to run after the commandments and the truth that's in God's Word so that we can make it to the end, so that He can teach us the way of His statutes, so that we can end up with an enlarged spiritual heart. That's what God's wanting to do in your life and my life. So, that's the first R, the run. Now, If we're doing the first run, if we're doing the first part of the three R's, I said there's three R's, run, rest, and refuge. And Pastor Mark talked about fight, flight, and faith. And I'm like, okay, how does this relate? Well, when we're running after the things of God, and we're running toward God, and we're running to obtain all that God has for us, then there's something that begins to happen or should happen in your life and my life. It's called rest. It's called God's rest and peace should begin to happen in our life. Now, we all know this passage of Scripture. Go to Matthew chapter 11. It's a very familiar Scripture. Verse 28. It says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." What's the first thing that's said in verse 28? Come unto me. Just as it said, I will, just as David said, I will, Jesus is now saying, come unto me. That's a decision that you and I have to make. Most of us, if not all of us here tonight, have made that decision. We've come unto the Lord Jesus Christ. We've accepted Him as our Lord and Savior. We've accepted Him as the one who has control over our life. So, Jesus is saying, come unto me. That's an act and a choice of your will and my will. We have to decide to come unto Him. If we come unto Him, it says, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Heavy laden, overburdened. Have you ever been overburdened in your life? You ever had things that weigh you down? You have things that you just feel like, I just not sure I can get through tomorrow? Jesus is saying, come unto me. Because if we come unto Him, He's going to give us rest. And that word rest there means to cause or permit one to cease from any movement or labor in order to recover and collect his strength. To cause or permit one to cease from any movement or labor in order to recover and collect his strength. We sometimes, and I'm guilty of it, you come unto the Lord and He's telling you, you need to rest. You need to back off. You're just pushing the envelope too much. Because He knows what's going to happen. If we continue to push that envelope too much and too far, He knows that this is His creation. Your body and my body, He created. He knows how it works the most effective way. But there's one thing that I am learning, I'm far from having it perfected, is I don't know what half speed is. I don't know what rest is. People say, when was the last time you took a vacation? Honestly, Sue can probably tell you more than I can. But you know what? We can get overburdened because we don't rest. Our bodies can wear down and our defense mechanisms and our immune systems can get weak because we don't rest. We don't rest. And He's telling us there's a rest that He has for us. And when we come unto Him, because I'm going to hold that thought there. I'm going to be obedient here. Because in verse 29, it's interesting. The rest in 28 and the rest in 29 that He talks about come from two different Greek words. The first one is what I said. Cause or permit one to cease from any movement or labor in order to recover and collect his strength. And in verse 29, that rest means intermission. Cessation of any motion, business or labor. Intermission. If you go to the movies, even the movies have an intermission. What's an intermission? It's a break. I'm not good at intermissions. But after reading this, I'm like, It says intermission. See, I understand what an intermission is. But cessation of any motion, business, or labor? That one I struggle with. But see, we need rest. God has a rest for us. Even in the race, even when you're running, there is no penalty for slowing your pace down and walking and recovering. And basically what you're doing, it's what the Lord showed me, because it reminded me when I did a marathon, which was 26 miles. There was three or four intermissions that I had in that race. They were necessary intermissions, and I'm not going to go there, but they were necessary intermissions. But that slight intermission was enough to refresh me, allow me to recollect strength to go on for the remainder of the race. So, let's go over to, well, let's go to Psalm 37 first. Thank you, Lord. Let's go to Psalm 37. Verse 7, Psalm 37, 7. It says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who braggeth, who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Rest in the Lord. And this is interesting because you know how many times people get bent out of shape when they see someone who's unsaved, someone who's highly successful in the world, looks like they're just getting blessed here, blessed there, everything's going great, nothing is going wrong, and you get upset. You start to fret. You start to say, well, I don't understand. Why is that going on? Why are they so blessed? Well, we shouldn't be responding that way, because here it says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself. First of all, He says, rest in the Lord. Did He say, rest in yourself? Did He say, rest in your knowledge? Did He say, rest in your understanding? He said none of those. He said, rest in the Lord. And I like what He says after this. Wait patiently for Him. How many of you like waiting? See, that's very good. That's exactly why it says patiently. Because how do you learn patience? You learn patience by waiting. When people say, I need to pray for more patience, you will probably be in the longest line you've ever been to in the market or the store. You'll get behind the slowest driver on the road because you're praying for patience. Well, if you're praying for patience, you're going to have to learn to wait. And that's just a fact of life. But that word rest there means to hold peace, quiet self, rest, be silent, stand still, tarry. Does anyone know what it says in Psalm 46:10? Psalm 46:10 says, "Be still and know that I am God." Do you realize that when we are fully resting in God, we can be absolutely still and His presence is so real around us? But we have to train ourselves to experience that, because we have a tendency as human beings to associate, how do I say this, Lord? To associate God's presence by movement and activity. God's not always in movement and activity. God can be in stillness. He can be in quietness. But I like the second part of this definition for rest. Quiet self. When you go into to get alone with Lord, get alone with the Lord, does your mind, or is it just me? Does your mind ever wander and you start thinking about this, you start thinking about that? All these things start coming in and you have to quiet self. Because self just comes out of nowhere with all these things that have to be done, all these things you have to think about. And we have to quiet self and hold peace. So he says, rest in the Lord, wait patiently for Him, fret not thyself. Fret not thyself because of what? Because of him who prospereth in his way. You know, it doesn't have to be someone who's unsaved. What is your heart reaction when you see a brother or sister get blessed? Do you rejoice and go, oh, praise God? Or do you go, what are you blessing him for? You know, we do that. We actually do that. Christians, we actually do that. It's like, Lord doesn't want us to do that. He wants us to rejoice when they rejoice. He wants us to shed tears when they're mourning. Go over to Isaiah 28. Isaiah 28, I'm going to start in verse 10. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to his people. What are they talking about here? The Holy Spirit, right? It says, to whom he said, this is the rest wherewith we may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear. But the word of the Lord was unto them precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little, that they might go and fall backward and be broken and snared and taken. But see, it's with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to his people. Is God speaking to his people with stammering lips and another tongue today? Yes, he is. He's speaking by his Holy Spirit. But look what it says here in verse 12. To whom he said, this is the rest wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear. This is exactly what the Lord showed my wife when she asked the Lord that question. She was bringing about, because she was praying in the Holy Ghost, she was praying in other tongues, she was bringing about a rest and a refreshing to this individual simply because of the Holy Spirit that resided on the inside of her. That's how powerful, that's how essential. That's why Jesus said, tarry here in Jerusalem until you're endued with power. Jesus knew the importance of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It was essential for us to have it. Now, go over to Hebrews chapter 4. Starting in verse 1, it says, let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. See, God has a rest for his people. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in which they had heard it. What's Pastor Mark been teaching us? Faith. Faith. The faith that he's preaching us mixed with God's Word allows you and I to enter into a rest that only God can give us. Man can't give it to us. It's only through faith and this Word. In verse 3, for we which have believed, do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest. Although the works were finished from the foundation of the world, for he speak in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if you shall enter into my rest, seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in, because of what? Unbelief. Unbelief. Again he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, today after so long a time, as it said, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Then he goes on down into verse 9, there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that has entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. So, can unbelief cause you to have unrest? Yeah, it can. But if we're believing and trusting God, like we looked at in that previous scripture about trusting God and waiting patiently, there is a rest. There is a rest that we can all receive. There is a rest that we can all walk in. But we have an enemy that doesn't want us to experience that rest. And the way we get robbed out of that rest that God has for us is through unbelief. Unbelief. You know, no, I'm not going to say that, Lord. Thank you. When we enter into that, when we mix God's word with faith, and we trust in, rely upon, and cling to, and look unto Jesus, who's the author and finisher of our faith, there is a rest for God's people that He wants us to have. We're not all experiencing that complete rest because of things we choose not to do when God tells us to do them. And because of our unbelief in certain areas, that's why we fret. That's why we get upset. That's why we worry. We don't have a rest in certain areas because we're not believing and trusting God in those areas. And that unbelief causes us to have fretting, worrying, all those things that God said, take no thought for. You know? Now, if we've entered the race, which we looked at in the beginning, we're running that race with all our effort. We're running to obtain everything that God has for us. It will cause us to enter into a rest and trust in God in every aspect of our life. So that's the first two R's. The first two R's will lead us to a third R. I want you to go to Psalm 142, verse 5. I'm just going to start in verse 1. It says, I cried unto the Lord with my voice. With my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. I poured out my complaint before Him. I showed before Him my trouble. Have we ever had complaints? Have we ever had troubles? When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path. In the way wherein I walked, have they privily laid a snare for me. I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. I cried unto the Lord. I cried unto thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. It's interesting what happens in two verses. Verse 4, he says, I looked at my right hand and beheld there was no man that would know me. And here he says, refuge failed me. No one cared for my soul. A little pity party, right? No one cares. Going through all this, I got these problems, no one cares. But look what happens. Look what happens as soon as we cry out to God. As soon as we cry out to the Lord. He said, I cried unto thee, O Lord. And look what comes out of his mouth. I cried unto thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. That word refuge there means shelter, hope, trust. A refuge is a shelter from storms. And what is being shown to this here in this passage of Scripture is no matter how bad the storms are, no matter how strong the winds are, no matter how high the water gets, no matter how difficult it looks. If we're resting in God and we're running to obtain all He has, there is a refuge. There is a place of protection. There is a shelter. There is a hope and a trust that you and I can have, because the Lord is our refuge. He's our refuge. He's our protection. Now, go back to Psalms 9:9. The Lord also shall be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee, for thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. The times in which we're living now, there are many people who are oppressed. There's many people in Florida right now as a result of the tragedy that happened with that shooting. Unless someone has ministered Jesus to them, some of them are oppressed right now. But see, the Lord can be their refuge. The Lord can be that place of security, that place of hope, that place that they can put their trust in. Because he says the Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. Those are times of trouble that they're going through. Those are times in which they've got a lot of questions, with not a lot of answers. But God can be their comfort. God can be their refuge. And that's my prayer for those people. God, only you can comfort them. Only you can be a refuge to them in a time of trouble. Let them call out to you, Lord. Allow them to call out to you so that they can experience that you are the God of refuge in time of trouble. And it says, and they that know thy name will put their trust in thee, for thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. He'll never forsake those that seek him. It's not his heart. Not his heart. Go over to Psalm 62. Starting in verse 7. Well, I'm going to start in verse 6. No, I'm going to start in verse 5. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from Him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory, the rock of my strength, and my refuge is in God. Trust in Him some of the time, you people. Oh, all the time. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. Selah. God is a refuge for us. Selah. Anytime you see the word Selah, you need to stop and think about it and meditate on it. God is a refuge. God is a place that we can have rest. We can have comfort. We can be safe from the storms. He's our refuge. Always has been. But it says, we can trust in Him When? All the time. We can trust in Him in all times. What does that leave out? What does that exclude? It excludes nothing. He's faithful. We can trust Him at all times. Go over to Psalm 91. See, you can't know God, you can't know that God is your refuge if He's not the one you trust in. Because in verse 2 it says, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. He's your refuge, He's your fortress, and He's the one you trust. He's the only one we can trust in the times in which we're living. We can't trust in one another. We can't trust in systems. We can't trust in programs. The only one that we can trust in is God. And I believe that's why Pastor Mark is really, really hitting his heart on faith in the final days. What kind of faith? God's coming back for a special kind of faith that He wants to see in His people. It's a trust. It's a trust. It's a sold out trust that we have in God. And the only way we can get that is when God takes away all the other sources. You go, I don't want to hear that. But you know, when you go back and read some of the autobiographies, I like reading some of the autobiographies by great men of God. As great as some of these men of God were, when you read their autobiography, you know when they became greater men of God? When they had to totally trust and rely upon every aspect of their life. They would wake up in the morning and some of them would have plates and silverware set on the table with nothing in the pantry. And yet they trusted God to provide that meal. And God would provide that meal. And it was just like time after time after time. The less they had, the more they had to trust God, and the more God showed up. So there's a trust. And then in verse 9, it says, in verse 691, it says, because Thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, Thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. He's a refuge. He's a source of protection. Pastor Bill, I always remember the example he gave, especially in this psalm here, 91, about the mother hen. You know, it's got little chicks. Chickens. I don't think you'd call them chicks, but he's got the little chickens. And to be a refuge for those little chickens, the mother would just kind of lift its wings and the little chickens would run underneath the wings and the hen would bring its wings down over the chickens as a sign of a refuge and protection. God does that in our life every day. He's like that mother hen. Turn over to Psalm 94. Verse 22. But the Lord is my defense, and my God is the rock of my refuge. Who's our defense? The Lord is my defense. Yet, we still try to defend ourselves, don't we? We still try to defend ourselves. We still try to make... It's not make. Help me, Lord, because I just lost my train of thought. We still try to justify. And the Lord's going, let me take care of it. Doesn't the Lord know how to take care of situations better than you and I? I mean, I just got corrected by my wife this week, okay? And at the time you're being corrected, you really don't want to hear it. But but she was talking to me about 24/7 communication with the Lord. And whether it's defending ourselves or whether it's because we have confidence in our own abilities and we've done it many times before, she just simply said, why do you pick and choose when you want to include God in your daily activities? And you know what? We all do it. We all do it. But see, he's wanting us to rely upon him. He's wanting us to trust him in every situation and circumstance. And when we do that, you think we're going to hear his voice more clearly? Yeah, we will. Because we've got constant communication going on. And we're not there yet, brothers and sisters, but he's wanting us to strive to obtain that type of relationship. Go over to Psalm 142. I'm going to start in verse 1. I cried unto the Lord with my voice. With my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. I think I already read this one. Yeah, I did. I read verse 5. I read the whole thing already. I'm going to read it again. It says, when my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path. In the way wherewith I walked, have they privily laid a snare for me. You ever feel like people are setting traps for you? Just to see you fall? Just to see you look stupid? Just to see you look unchristian? And he says, I looked on my right hand, and behold, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. And he says, I cried unto thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my refuge and my portions in the land of the living. Notice he said land of the living. He didn't say land of the dead. He said, land of the living, because our God is a living God. Our Jesus is a living King. He rules and reigns, and he's alive forevermore. He did not stay in the grave. He rose from the grave. He took victory over sin, death, and everything that the devil would try to bring against us because he rules and reigns. He's a living God. And we can put our trust and our refuge in a living God. And so, how does this have to do with what I started with? I asked the question too when the Lord gave me the three R's. He said, fight, flight, and faith. Well, our fight, the fight within us is going to cause us to run the race. Because when Paul was talking about that, he says it's not like a boxer beating the air. There's a purpose. There's a plan that God has for us. So we're not just going haphazardly to get to the finish line. We're looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who has a plan and a direction for us to get to that finish line in the most efficient and effective manner, and to take as many people with us on that race. And then it says flight. Flight. I didn't understand that one. Flight. Fight, flight, and faith. And that's when he took me to rest. Because flight is associated with being airborne, right? You take a flight, you rise above the situation and circumstance. Well, I'm going to read something here. I don't want to misquote it. Thank you, Lord. It's not in my notes, so I got to look at it, Lord. It says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death." When we are resting completely in the Lord, there is a more powerful force operating in our lives, and it's the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, because there's the Spirit of law and sin and death. The law of sin and death is like gravity. It's trying to pull us down. It's trying to get us to be uneasy. It's trying to get us to not trust in the Lord. It's trying to get us to not rest in the Lord. But there's a flight that takes place because of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, which is a higher power, just like the law of lift is a higher power over the law of gravity. The law of lift allows a big plane to take off, even though gravity is trying to pull it down. The law of lift will cause it to rise above. When we're truly resting in God and His commandments and what He's told us to do, it allows us to fly above situations and circumstances. And faith and refuge. You can't have faith without trusting God. And almost all the scriptures that we looked at, when it talks about refuge, it talks about trust. It's talked about putting our trust, knowing that God is our refuge, knowing that we can put our trust in God. What are we doing? What are we saying? My faith is in God. My hope is in God. My faith. And you all know that I like acronyms. And I love the acronym for faith. Father's assurance in the heart. That's what faith is. Father's assurance in the heart is an assurance of knowing that the Father and what He has planned for you and me will come to pass if we will run the race that He has set before us, if we'll rest in what He has for us, and if we'll allow Him to be our refuge and wait patiently and sometimes stand still and let Him be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Heavenly Father, we come before You right now. We thank You, Father. We thank You for knowing that We can run this race knowing that you allowed us to start it and you're going to allow us to finish it. And we just have to stay on course. We have to look unto you, Jesus, because you are the only one that can get us to the finish line. Not just so we just barely make it. You want us to be running through that finish line. You want us to finish strong. Not crawling across the finish line. You want us to finish strong. And in that race, Father, we learn how to rest and rely upon you, Father. And you also will teach us, Father, in the natural how we need to rest and sometimes take intermissions. But Lord, as a result of running unto you, as a result of resting in you, there comes a refuge, Father, that only you can give us. Because you are our refuge. You are our strength. You are our defense. You are our protection. In every situation, you protect us from every storm, every circumstance. Didn't say that we won't have to go through them. Didn't say there wouldn't be storms. But we know that we have you as a refuge. That you're a firm, solid rock. The rock of Jesus. That firm foundation. That's what we stand on. That's what we trust in. And that's what we believe in. In Jesus' name, amen.